This is week one, class two, TH107 trainer session. Now turn over to Philippians chapter 1. Now there are several places in the New Testament where Paul writes and he's indicating how he's praying for people. We'll just look at one. In verse 1 it says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So here is one example where Paul is talking about how he intercedes for or prays for people. And in this particular case, it has to do with the Philippians and that particular church and that group of folks right there. And again, we know better than to think that Paul would have named each person individually, but he would have just, Father, I lift up, you know, the church in Philippi, you know, whatever it would be, and intercede for them from that perspective. But now let's take a look at some of the characteristics of intercession. Turn over to Matthew chapter 15. And what we're going to do is read this passage first and then go back and kind of work through it. In Matthew 15, beginning in verse 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Now let's back up and work through this. In verses 1 through 6, Jesus goes to the scribes, or the scribes and the Pharisees go to him, and they say, Well, how come your disciples are transgressing the tradition? So they're exalting this tradition. But Jesus confronts them with the word. And he says, Well, how come you folks are teaching your people to break the commandment of God? You're exalting your tradition above the commandment of God. And then he gives an example here of what they're doing. Well, what had taken place in their life is the fact that the tradition had been exalted above God's truth. Now, when it comes to intercession, it says right here in your outline, our intercession is governed by what we believe. Now, this is extremely important because no matter what you believe, that comes forth in your intercession. Obviously, you're not going to intercede on behalf of somebody based upon something you don't believe, right? So now, using this example, these guys come to Jesus, the religious leaders now, it's very important, the religious leaders, and they say, Hey, yeah, your disciples, they're breaking our tradition. And Jesus says, Excuse me, but you're breaking God's word. So how can you justify what you're doing? It's easy for these guys to justify what they're doing, but how can you justify what you're doing? Well, in verses 7 through 9, Jesus makes a statement. You hypocrites! You know, well does Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, The people draw near me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, God sees it as hypocrisy when we approach Him with tradition. It affects our prayers and it affects our worship. Now, Jesus makes this statement. He says, look, Isaiah was right. He prophesied about you guys. God says that you worship me in vain. You teach for doctrines the commandments of men. So what had happened was, the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders had taught to the people traditions that they said were doctrines of God. The same thing exists here in the body of Christ today. You have religious leaders that will teach to you, to all of us. They'll try to present to us traditions of man and tell you that they are the doctrines of God. Well, if you get to the point of accepting this into your life, and that's what you believe, then you're going to intercede on behalf of other people based upon the tradition as opposed to the truth. All right, now let's just play with this for a moment here. When I grew up, I was taught that speaking in tongues was wrong, not of God, passed away. In some cases, people, you know, of the devil and so on. And some of you can relate to this. So let's just assume that we're living back in that time. And a friend of ours starts going to a church where they believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And that friend comes back to us and says, boy, you should have been there. It was an incredible service. Why, the people were singing, and I've never seen this before, but they were, you know, clapped their hands, and there were people that lifted their hands, and boy, did I ever feel the presence of God. It was just, man, it was so unique. And there were people there. For the first time in my life, I heard people speaking in tongues. And I asked a few folks about it after the service, and they were explaining to me about speaking in tongues and so forth. And they gave me some scriptures to read. And man, I'll tell you what, I've been looking here in the Word of God about this and following up because, boy, I'll tell you what, that was some kind of a service. Now, we hear that. What do we think? Our friend has been deceived, right? So if we begin to intercede on behalf of our friend, it's going to be based on the fact we think they're walking in deception. So then we go to God on behalf of our friend and we say, oh God, my friend Susie has been caught up in something that is absolutely not of you. Please open Susie's eyes to see the truth. You pray like that, Susie's going to end up being filled with the Holy Ghost. Her eyes will be open to see the truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? We would intercede based upon our tradition, not upon truth. And so if in that prayer, oh God, keep Susie away from that stuff. It's so wrong. God's not going to move on that. But we're interceding based upon what we believe. See? Now let's take this a little bit further in this passage. Jesus, He refutes this tradition. And He says, I like this. Verse 10, He called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. What is He saying? Now listen to this. The religious leaders are right there, are they not? How come it is, Jesus, your disciples are breaking the tradition? And Jesus says, excuse me, how come it is you're breaking the Word of God? Hey, everybody, listen up. It's not what goes in that defiles. It's what comes out. Remember, He already told them, you're messing up God's Word with your tradition, and you're teaching your traditions as though they were doctrines. In other words, what Jesus was telling the people was that these guys here, they're defiling you with this teaching. Well, that didn't go over very well, did it? I mean, verse 12, it's kind of put nicely. Then came His disciples and said unto Him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard? I guess they were. In front of the whole congregation, Jesus says, you guys are being defiled by their teaching. That won't go over too well next offering time. But now think of the impact this had on the whole bunch of them. Jesus, He's telling them, you know, look at verse 13. He says, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted will be rooted up. Let them be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Like it says here in your outline, the religious tradition-minded will always take issue when exposed. It does not matter what the topic is. If you expose a tradition for what it is, they will defend it to the death if their hearts... Remember he says right here about them being blind? If they are blinded and they're not going to receive truth, they will defend that tradition no matter what. You know, recently I finished a series at the church entitled The Truth About Generational Curses. We had several visitors the first night. That number was cut by over half the second Sunday night that we taught this. And the third Sunday night, fewer still. By the time we were done, I don't know if we had any visitors the last night. You know why that was? That's because we were destroying, through the Word of God, the traditions about generational curses. And there were people flat out didn't want to hear it. And right now, it doesn't matter what the topic is. If you take a stand for truth, just like Jesus did, you're going to offend somebody. I guarantee you. You know, when I first went to where I'm pastoring now, there at Grace, when I first went there, the people, in essence, there was a really strong mixture of tradition and truth. And there are folks here that are a part of that church, and they can relate to what I'm saying because, you know, they were there. There was a strong mixture of tradition and truth. There was a lot of truth, but there was also a lot of tradition. So when I went in and I began ministering, I didn't just stand up and say, boy, are you people ever ate up to the max? You know, what I said, what I did, I started teaching. And I would go through and I, you know, whatever the subject would be. And I would, you know, we'd verse by verse, you know, passage by passage. You know, let's look over here now at this other passage, verse by verse. And then let's look over here now at this other passage. Well, by the time I was done, it was really hard to hold on to some of those traditions. And, you know, you had a choice. You were either going to let go of that tradition and embrace the truth or fight tooth and nail to hold on to the tradition. And one of the best ways to hold on to the tradition in the face of truth is to take your tradition and leave. Because you can't balance both. And as time has gone on, more and more traditions have been, you know, dealt with. You know, recently finished a series on eternal security. And that dealt with some traditions. The bottom line is this. You want truth or tradition? I mean, it's totally up to, you know, each one of us. But the thing is, when you start delivering truth and it smacks up against tradition, those who are religious tradition-minded are going to put up a fight for it and verbally fight you tooth and nail to hold on to that tradition. And it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you say. It just, you know, I have to tell you, I never cease to be amazed at how many people will not accept God's Word, no matter what it says. They will hold on to what they want to believe. They will hold on to what they've been taught. They will hold on to what the scribes and Pharisees have told them and refuse to embrace truth. But now here's the thing. If you're embracing a tradition as opposed to truth, it's going to have a severe impact on the way you intercede on behalf of other people. Because whatever it is that you believe, that's going to be the foundation in how you intercede on behalf of other people. If your foundation is not truth, then sooner or later, you're going to be interceding based upon the tradition. And that it's not going to bring about the results. In this passage, where Jesus exposes what's happening, he makes a statement there in verses 13 and 14. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now, not everybody who is teaching has been planted by God. Now, let me explain this. Not everybody, I'm talking Christians now, okay? Not every Christian who is, maybe they have the legitimate call of teacher or pastor, whatever, that's legitimate. But not all of them are planted by God to deliver what they're delivering. There are huge ministries out there right now, huge ministries, massive ministries that are delivering messages. And some of you could tune in. I mean, we could give names. You could tune into the radio, television, whatever, and listen to them and watch them. But they're not planted of God, because what they're giving is not truth. It's tradition. But yet, they have all these followers. And here's another thing that's amazing to me. Every now and then, I'll hear of people who regularly listen, you know, to brother this or sister that, and they actually seem to enjoy the messages. And I'm thinking, you know, why would you do this to yourself? If you already know, and it's amazing how that they'll say, well, you know, I listen to so-and-so, but, well, I tell you what, this guy, you know, he just, and it's like, I can't believe the things he says. Why listen? Why are you doing this to yourself? Why? Can you imagine somebody, how many of you have ever planted flowers? Okay, have you ever planted your flowers, and then the next day you go back to the place where you bought the flower seed and say, by the way, do you have any weed seed? Because I want to plant some weeds in with my flowers. How many of you dig up dandelions and put them over in the rose garden? Nobody does that. But that is exactly what people do when they tune in to brother this and sister that, and they know that it's going to be wrong. They know it's not wrong or right doctrine. They know it. But yet, they keep putting this stuff on the inside. That is absolutely nuts. Why in the world? How can you justify doing that? There is no justification. And it gets worse when people send the money. Why would you pay for somebody to deceive you? Why would you pay for somebody to give you a tradition instead of truth? Why would you do that? Here, I want to fund this false doctrine. Send me your tapes. Preach it around the world, brother. Why would you do that? Well, see, again, this is a religious mindset that people get caught up. Well, but they tell people about Jesus. Well, what about the ones that are telling about Jesus that are also telling truth in the area of these other doctrines? Why not send your money to them so they can get on the TV and they can get on the radio? And we start weeding these people out, so to speak, that are delivering the wrong doctrines. I mean, I heard a report the other day, and I won't give you the name of this preacher. If I did, most of you would know. It shocked me to hear that this preacher said this. But apparently this minister got on television, has a huge ministry, and made the statement that God uses the devil, and the devil doesn't even know it, but God uses the devil to bring about correction in the lives of Christians. Now don't come up to me after class and say, Brother Martin, who was it? I'm not going to tell you. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe this person said that, based upon other things this person has taught. But yet, this person has the ear of millions of people. So, if millions of people suddenly said, excuse me, but that's wrong, and I'm not going to support it anymore, how do you think that would have an impact on this person's ministry? Here's the problem. Millions of people don't know the difference. And the reason they don't know the difference is because they're not taking the time to get into the Word of God to find out what is and is not truth, and what is and is not tradition. They don't know how to make the comparison. They just accept what the scribes and Pharisees say. Now, Jesus says, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. You know what that's saying? Sooner or later, somehow, some way, and I don't know how, but wrong doctrine is going to be exposed. Now, there have been prophecies that have come forth in our church, and let me summarize. The closer we get to the return of Jesus, the more truth is going to become known. The closer we get to the return of the Lord, the more wrong doctrine is going to be exposed. And it's going to create a real issue in the body of Christ, because major ministries are going to be exposed for wrong doctrine that they have perpetrated on the body of Christ for so many years. Now, it doesn't mean that everything they say is wrong, okay? But the wrong aspects of what they're teaching. And now here's what's happened in the past. There have been ministers that have been confronted over wrong doctrine but have refused to change because changing would impact their income. So they continue to give the wrong doctrine. This is going to be a part of the rooting up that's going to take place. You know, God... Okay, let's say that you're caught up in a wrong doctrine. All right? God's a God of mercy and a God of grace. He'll do His best to get this thing corrected in your life. Whether somebody gives you a book by, you know, Brother so-and-so, and you read that book, and it contradicts what you're teaching, but it's truth, and you need to correct what you're teaching, or maybe a tape or something like that. So here you are now. You've been confronted with the fact that you've been teaching a wrong doctrine. God's giving you a chance to repent and make it right. He's giving you a chance to correct it. If you don't, then you can expect some kind of judgment. Now, I'm not talking lightning bolts out of heaven and all this, but some kind of judgment about correction in the body of Christ so that the wrong teaching doesn't keep going on. Watch this. Over the next, I don't know how, what kind of a time frame, but over the next amount of time, months and months, next few years really, you watch this. There's going to be a greater increase in the area of truth, and it's going to start off as like a like small voices. Okay, here's an example. The weather's been nice, and in our front yard, we have these little purple flowers that, you know, shoot up. Crocuses, you with me? Well, there's one here, and there's one. We're not talking a flower garden here, but there's one here, and there's one there. In other words, as time goes on, you're going to have a voice here and a voice there start to pop up, declaring truth. Books are going to start coming out. Tapes are going to start being distributed. More and more of this stuff's going to start getting out, and it's going to contradict the wrong doctrine that's out there. And what happened here in this chapter 15 of Matthew is going to happen today in the body of Christ. How that there will be people who will get offended. You know, listen, my church has 15,000 people, or I'm on every television network that does Christian TV, and all. I'm on satellite. I'm this. We're around the world. How can you say that I'm wrong? Well, it's not really me that's saying you're wrong. I'm just saying what's in God's Word, and what you're saying in this particular area is wrong according to God's Word. It's nothing personal. It's just Jesus corrected the scribes and the Pharisees. God's Word is going to correct us. We've got a responsibility to be right. When it comes to intercession on behalf of other people, this is extremely important, because if you're interceding in a wrong way, don't expect results. God will not honor anything other than what He has established as being true. And so Jesus says, every plant that God hasn't planted, the Father hasn't planted, it's going to be rooted up. Let them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. And if they lead the blind lead the blind, they're both going to fall into the ditch. Look at Psalm chapter 119. In fact, we'll come back here to Matthew, so leave your finger there. But in Psalm chapter 119, just look at one verse here. Verse 105, it says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, all right? Now, we can substitute the word truth for the word there. Remember when Jesus was praying, He said in John 17, He says, Sanctify them with Thy truth, Thy word is truth. So we could say, Thy truth is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we will not be incorrect in exchanging those two words. Now turn over to 2 Peter. And again, leaving your place in Matthew, holding your place there, turn over to 2 Peter and look at what Peter says. It's kind of like an expanded version of what was written over there in Psalm. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. It says, For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now look here in this verse 19, where he says, We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. All right, now thinking of that in an analogy, the dark place is the religious traditions that exist in the world. The light that shineth is the Word of God, or truth. Light shines, or truth shines, as a light in a dark place. So when you come in, and here's what's incredible. Let's think of it like this. Let's say we walk into an arena, and there are 20,000 people in this arena. And you start teaching, and what you are teaching is truth, but every one of them believes an opposite way. Let's just use healing again. That's such an easy one to use for so many examples. They don't believe in divine healing. They don't believe that healing is for today. That's what they've been taught. But now here you come and you stand up before these 20,000 people and you're delivering truth. You know, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. And lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In other words, you're delivering to them truth. So here you are. Out of your mouth is coming truth. It's like you standing in this massive arena, all the lights are turned off, and you've got a flashlight. Now think in your mind, get that image in your mind. One person in a massive arena, all the lights turned out, and you've got a flashlight. Now that light can be seen, but does it light up the whole arena? No, it's in the midst of that darkness. So all the people in there, 20,000 people, they believe the wrong way, but you're the only one that's delivering any light. They're all, just like everybody in that darkened arena could see the flashlight, they're all hearing it. They're hearing this truth, but it doesn't mean that they're accepting it. So Peter is saying, listen, the Word is truth. It's like a light that is shining in a dark place. So relative to us, God's truth is like a light that shines in the darkness of man's traditions. Now if you look back over in Matthew chapter 15, truth is and produces light. It both is and it produces light. Tradition is and produces darkness. No matter how good it sounds, if it isn't truth, it cannot produce light. Boy, let that one sink in. No matter how good it sounds. That's just like, I gave you the example a few moments ago about this major minister who gave the example and talked about how that God uses Satan to bring about correction in the lives of Christians. Even though the devil doesn't know he's being used like this, God still uses him to bring about correction in the lives of believers. And, you know, let's just for a moment think of it like this. If that is the only thing wrong that this minister preaches and teaches, it still needs to be corrected. I mean, God's really happy about all the right stuff that's preached and taught, but this thing right here, that'll mess up a whole lot of people. Because, think of it this way. If I'm being attacked by the devil, and let's say I recognize it as an attack by the devil, I better think twice before rebuking him, because what if God's using him to correct me in something? So here God's trying to correct me with something, you know, using the devil. But if I'm rebuking the devil, then God's not going to be able to correct me. You see what I'm saying? So therefore, best thing for me is just kind of sit back and wait and try and figure this thing out. And let the devil, you know, do what he needs to do so that I can be corrected the way that God... Can you see how goofy this is? Well, here we have darkness. I mean, bottom line, that is darkness. It's not light. Now, no matter how good it sounds, and I'll guarantee you this, there are people out there that heard that, and they ran with it. There are people that, you say, well, how do you know that? Because you cannot get in a room full of people, I mean, that kind of an audience, you know, a church of thousands, and then who knows how many thousands upon thousands watching, and not have somebody hear it, and then run with it, and make it a part of their life. So here they are believing that God's using the devil to correct them. And I'll guarantee you this, we're going to tell somebody about it. How many of you, think of it, since this school has started, how many of you have shared with somebody else who's not a student something you learned? Something that was said here in the Bible college. So, see, perfect example. Somebody's out there saying, well, you know what, the devil's going to be used by God to bring about correction in your life. Don't rebuke him. God may have sent him your way. I don't think so. No matter how good it sounds, if it's not truth, it cannot produce light in your life. And those who teach tradition are blinded by the tradition they teach. You say, well, how do you figure that? Well, why would you teach it if you weren't blinded by it? I mean, if you know it's not right, why would you teach it? Well, because maybe it's bringing in a lot of money. Well, there again, you're blinded by a tradition. See what I'm saying? Now, here's what's so sad. If I stand up and I keep teaching to you tradition that cannot bring light into your life, here I am, I'm blinded by this. I'm walking in this darkness, and I'm leading you into this darkness with me. It's like I'm putting your spiritual eyes out with this tradition. I'm blinding you. And so here, you take it, you embrace it, you make it a part of your life. That's not what you believe, so that's how you act. And when it comes to your intercession, that's how you intercede on behalf of other people. How in the world could you intercede for somebody else if you believe that God is using Satan to bring about correction in their life? How would you know what to pray? Wouldn't that be kind of confusing? Gosh, I don't know how to pray. I mean, what if this is God trying to teach them something, using the devil to teach them something? I don't know. Well, how should I pray? Oh, God, may they hurry up and learn. Oh, God. Jesus was saying that the scribes and the Pharisees were blind. He just got through saying that they're defiling people with what they teach. If I stand up and I teach you tradition over truth, I'm defiling you. Now, it doesn't mean that you'll accept it and believe it, but don't we have a tendency to kind of accept what we hear from other people when they, you know, are up there on the platform? Now, hopefully, you guys have learned by now to pray in the Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit's going to help you to discern between what is and is not correct and, you know, whatever. However, we typically think about how we grew up in church. Whenever somebody came in and preached, man, we just kind of jumped on the bandwagon. We just kind of went with it. We didn't understand about, you know, really searching the Scriptures. Didn't understand about praying about, well, is this right or wrong? Didn't understand about praying in the Spirit, letting the Holy Ghost help us out. We just figured, well, if they're up there, they must know. And then here they come. If they're bringing with them a tradition, they are defiling us, and they're leading us into blindness, at least in that particular area, whatever that doctrine might be. So Jesus, he just got through saying they are defiling you, but then he also is saying they're blind. Now think of these Jews and them hearing this. They have believed these scribes and Pharisees their whole lives. And then here comes one person, one man, just one. Nobody else has ever said this before. Nobody has ever said that these guys are defiling us with what they teach, and nobody has ever said they're blind. And we're supposed to believe him over them? Well, see, we look at it and we say, oh yeah, you're supposed to believe him over them. All they saw was a guy with calloused hands from years of carpentry, done some miracles, yeah, but telling us to not believe our religious leaders? Okay, put it in perspective. A voice stands up and says, guys, all this stuff that you've heard about the prosperity from your religious leaders, it's not right. They are defiling you by telling you to sow seed for your healing, to sow seed for the salvation of your loved ones, to sow seed to get more money. They're defiling you with this. They're blind in that teaching. Wait a minute. We're supposed to believe you? Why, they've been preaching this for years. Why, they have big churches. They have big ministries. Of course they do. Everybody's been giving them their money to try to get more money for themselves. Of course they do. Now, it's not wrong to give offerings. We know this. But do you understand what... Do you see what I'm saying here? And how that... It's easy to get outnumbered when you're speaking truth. And so Jesus says, leave them alone. He says, leave them alone. Why, Jesus? They're blind. Likewise today, how many of you figured out it's next to impossible to change the doctrine of a lot of people? You ever tried to... I mean, I don't know if you've done this or not, but I know of situations where people have tried to say, you know, change the doctrine of their pastor. That doesn't go over too well, does it? I'm the pastor. Who do you think you are? Well, somebody that's figured out that what you're saying is wrong. That doesn't go over well either. Have you ever tried to change the doctrine of somebody who's been there for a while? It doesn't work too well. Likewise, Jesus said, leave them alone. They're blind. When it comes to other people and their doctrines, Trust me, you can't change them. You may be able to present truth. Did Jesus not present truth to these guys right here? He sure did. However, they were still blinded because they took offense at the truth because it hammered at their tradition. For us, when it comes to helping people, if you will, we're not going to change anybody's traditions. The only way that that's going to happen is if they are willing to accept what God wants to do in their life to change a belief system that's wrong before Him. If they make that decision, then yes, they may embrace what you've shared with them. You can share truth with people, but it doesn't mean they're going to accept it. If they stay blind, they're going to stay blind. And here's what's so sad. It's when people, by choice, continue to follow blind leaders. That is extremely sad. See, you can only, it's like the Lord, I don't know if I shared this with you or not, but I'll share it with you now. If I did, just act like you're hearing it for the first time. You know, I was talking to the Lord about how it is that there are a lot of churches out there. They'll tell people about Jesus. You need to be born again and so forth and all that. But they don't believe in the gifts and so on and so forth. And the Lord said how that He is extremely happy over the fact that they're leading people to Jesus. And He said, but you have to understand, that's as far as they can take them. Because if they don't know any better, they can't take them any further. A church can only take people as far as the leadership believes. Put it another way, whatever level of truth the leadership in the church is walking, that's as far as they can take the people of that church. So let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, if you're walking in level 1 truth, that's as far as you can take that entire church. If you're at level 3 truth, that's as far as you can take that entire church. Level 6, that's as far as you can take that. You cannot take them any further. Now, it doesn't mean that they can't go beyond that on their own, you know, by praying in the Spirit and so forth, because that's one of the reasons the Holy Ghost was given. But as far as the leadership of that church leading people in a direction of truth and leading them deeper into truth, that church can only take the people as far into truth as the leadership is walking. It doesn't matter what church. My church, I can only take the people or lead the people as far as what I'm walking. I can't take them any further than that. So what's that say about me? That means I've got a responsibility to keep, you know, going deeper into the light, so to speak, the light of the truth and all that. So the Lord was, because let's face it, it can be frustrating sometimes. You know, you see these churches growing and so forth, programs and all that. And He was saying, yeah, you know, you can use all kinds of programs and you're going to build a big church and you're going to lead people to Jesus. But you're not going to lead them into any further truth. You're only get them as far as you are. And if the level of your walk is nothing but programs to lead them to Jesus, that's it. That's as far as that entire congregation is going to go. Think about this. A congregation of 15,000 people, and it's program after program after program after program, and that's as far as they're taking those people. This may sound like a real insult. I don't mean it to, but you know, spiritually speaking, that's a 15,000 member daycare. Because those people are only at that one level, and that is it. Now, they may be extremely mature as people, but spiritually, they're only walking at a very low level of truth. Can you see how that would hinder what God wants to do in this world? He can only work through us at the level of truth we're walking in. He can't work through us beyond that. So if I'm only walking at level 1 truth, He'll work through me at level 1, because that's all He has to work with. If I'm at level 3, He'll work through me, level 1, level 2, and level 3, but that's it. He can't go beyond that, because I'm not beyond that. But if I get myself to level 8, level 9, level 10, He's able to work more and more fully through us as the body of Christ, the more truth we're walking in. When it comes to our intercession, if we're living at level 4 truth, then we will intercede level 4 intercession. Can you see the connection in this? That's why it's so extremely important for us to understand about God's Word and God's truth, because it has a direct impact on how we intercede on the lives of other people. In verses 15 through 20, Jesus is talking to Peter, and Peter says, "Declare unto us this parable." Jesus says, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye not yet understand? Whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Now, here's what's amazing. We can defile ourselves through what we say. That's what he just got through saying here. What comes out of the heart, that's what defiles a man. Now, look over in Luke chapter 6. This is the same kind of a thing, stated a little bit differently, but not much differently. In Luke 6:43, Jesus says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." Now here's what's interesting. You know, you read that verse and you see the word evil, and so there can be a tendency to think in terms of cursing and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. But now, again, like I've said in the past, let's look at this through God's eyes. Evil is anything that doesn't line up with truth. Doesn't matter what it is. So if I, again, the healing, if I stand up and I say healing's not for today, then what I am doing is out of my mouth proceedeth forth that which is in my heart. So in my heart, I believe healing's not for today. I speak that. Healing is not for today. What am I doing? I am defiling myself because I am speaking non-truth over me. Likewise, if I speak it to you in a position of being a teacher or an instructor, I'm defiling you because I'm trying to blind you in the area of healing. I'm trying to blind you by telling you healing's not for today. So out of the abundance of my heart is coming that which I truly believe. But it's wrong. He says that out of your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth is going to speak. If we do not believe truth, we won't speak truth. Very simple. Okay, think of it like this. Again, how many of you, a period of time in your life, you did not believe in the gifts of the Spirit? What came out of your mouth? It's not for today. Was it truth? No. Was it tradition? Yes. So, you didn't speak truth. But did you think you were? Absolutely. You thought you were speaking truth, but you weren't. And again, using the example of interceding for somebody else, you would have interceded for somebody based upon what you were firmly convinced was truth. Our heart is filled with what we put into it. If it's filled with traditions, then that's what we believe. If it's filled with truth, then that's what we believe. We will produce verbally what we have sown spiritually. Extremely important. We will produce verbally what we have sown spiritually. So if I've sown man's traditions, then I'm going to repeat man's traditions. That's what's going to come out of me, including my intercession. If I have sown man's traditions, when I begin to intercede for you, I will begin to intercede for you according to those traditions, not according to man's truth. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, what's all this got to do with intercession? Well, it has a massive amount to do with intercession. You cannot intercede correctly if you aren't walking in truth. If you don't understand what is truth, you cannot intercede correctly for somebody. And as you're going to see here a little bit later on, it's time to take a break. Hallelujah. So see you in about 5 minutes, 6 minutes. Hallelujah.